Teacher Wanted at the Edge of the World. Una read the unusual heading again. She was sitting at the kitchen table in her little flat in the west end of Reykjavik, where she'd been living for 4 years, after scraping together the money for a deposit through sheer determination. Her mother, the only family she had left, hadn't been able to lend her anything, and Una had been forced, as always, to stand on her own 2 feet. The kitchen had hardly changed since the day Una moved in. It was still shabby and old-fashioned, with yellow linoleum on the floor, faded tiles on the walls, and garish red units, which, like the white Rafa cooker, were at least 20 years out of date. Nothing about the decor or furnishings said 1985. Still, at least the coffee tasted good, with a drop of milk. Having picked up the caffeine habit at university, Una couldn't get through the day without it. "I don't know, Sarah," she said, trying to smile at her best friend who was sitting across the table from her. There wasn't much to smile about these days. Una's pay as a supply teacher at a small school in the neighbouring town of Kopavoj was barely enough to cover her bills, and she was never sure from 1 month to the next whether she would get enough work. Despite her strict economising, it was always an effort to make her wages stretch until the next payday. She was resigned to eating the cheapest fish on offer, at least 3 times a week. Every time she found herself struggling to make ends meet towards the end of the month, she regretted not having finished her medical degree, though if she were honest, she wouldn't have been any happier if she had. It had taken her 3 grueling years to admit to herself that she'd only enrolled in medicine because it was what her father had wanted. She'd been trying to make his dream come true instead of pursuing her own. She could never have worked as a doctor. She just wasn't suited to the job. She had no passion for it. 3 years of her life. She'd passed all her exams, done well even, but it wasn't enough. The spark wasn't there.
"Why not? Come on, Una, you're always moaning about having to struggle to get by. You love teaching, and you're the adventurous type."
Sarah was bursting with optimism as usual. She'd brought Morgan Bludden round to Una's that Saturday morning with the sole purpose of showing her the advert, aware that Una couldn't afford a subscription to the paper herself. They were planning to meet up at Sarah's place that evening to watch the live broadcast of a concert in aid of starving children in Africa. Una couldn't wait. It was rare for Iceland's sole state-run TV channel to offer anything that entertaining, and she loved music, loved dancing, going out and having fun. Given half a chance, she thought wistfully. "But it's so far away," she protested. "On the opposite side of the country. You couldn't get any further from Reykjavik if you tried." She looked back at the job advert. "Skalar. I've never even heard of the place. It's a tiny village, a hamlet really, right at the end of the Langanus Peninsula. Look, they say they need a teacher for a very small class. There's free accommodation thrown in. You could save up all your pay, pretty much." After a pause, Sarah added, "I saw a report about the village on TV earlier this year. Only 10 people live there."
"What? 10? Are you joking?"
"No. That's why the TV company sent a reporter there, because it's the smallest village in the country, or something like that. It stuck in my mind. Only 10 inhabitants, according to the latest census. The reporter seemed to think it was funny. I assume that means there can't be more than a couple of kids to teach." Una hadn't taken her friend's suggestion seriously at first. But maybe it wasn't such a mad idea after all. Maybe it was the opportunity she'd been waiting for. It had never crossed her mind to move to the countryside. She was a Reykjavik girl through and through, having grown up on a post-war housing estate in the suburbs, in a little house that her doctor father had built more or less with his own 2 hands. She'd had a good childhood there, until the event that had shattered her life. Until then, she'd been happy, if her memories were anything to go by, playing with her friends on the unpaved roads of the estate in the light summer evenings, watching the new houses springing up all around. Now she stopped to think about it. Growing up in that self-contained community had been a bit like living in a village, if not a village of only 10 souls. Her images of those vanished days were bathed in a soft glow of nostalgia, a time that could never be revisited. She and her mother had moved away, and strangers lived in their house now. Una didn't care who they were. She had no intention of ever going back. But the thought of the tiny community at Skalar struck a sudden chord with her.